Good morning. Well done for making it through the storm to church. It's good to welcome you. I know one or two have already had power cuts this morning, but we're all right here, at least for now. So welcome to all of you. It's good to be here to worship God together. Please remember we have a church meeting immediately following the service next Sunday. Two key items on that agenda. One will be to appoint new deacons, and the other will be to talk about the possibility of appointing an associate minister and where we go next with that. So we have three who've put their names forward for diaconate. Just wave at me, would you? So we've got Nick and Pat and Connor. There we are. So if you want to meet any of them afterwards, please go and do that. Debbie, where's Debbie? Come and join me for a minute. You see, later on in this service, after communion, we'll take up an offering for street pastors. And so I thought I'd haul Debbie up here for a minute. For those who've no idea, when you go out to be a street pastor, what do you actually do?
Okay, so on the evening in question, we normally meet here around 10 o'clock, and we will meet with the representative from any of the churches that are affiliated with Street Pastors, and we will pray, and we will sort out what we're going to do, our route, and then go out. And we've got a formula that we always start by the station to catch the last train, and then walk into town. Now, the kind of things that we do is we always greet the door staff, okay? We would know them, I would have known them as bouncers, but they're not, they're door staff. And then as we go round, we meet people. Now, those people might be happy, sad, depressed, lonely, suicidal, ecstatic, high, any kind of emotion you can possibly think of, we will meet throughout our time as street pastors. And in that time, we will talk to them if they want to talk. We will converse with them. Topical news is a great opener. It is rare that they ask us to pray, and we will not mention God unless they ask us. We are not evangelists, but we are there representing God. And it's really important that we stick to those rules so that they feel that they can come to us at any time.
Okay. Now, a bit later on, I said we're going to take up an offering for street pastors. What does that money actually get spent on?
Aha. I have something prepared. The very first thing of the money gets spent on are lollipops. And lollipops are a way of breaking the ice. So when we've seen stressful situations or perhaps violence about to happen, step in with a lollipop is a really good way of breaking that. The other thing is it just helps with the blood sugar for those of them who drunk too much. And it's a really good way. We've got big lollipops, they're all sealed because they like them to be sealed so they can open them themselves. And I will give lollipops to the children at the end of the service. we also do flip-flops. Now this is we are the flip-flop brigade. And the flip-flops are to prevent women damaging their feet after they have fallen off their high heels, or it's about 2 o'clock in the morning and they've taken them off. And so probably on an evening we will give at least 5 pairs away, but sometimes it has been more. And glass is the main culprit, so we do sweep up any broken glass, or we collect bottles and cans, and those at £1 a pair we use frequently. The other two things we spend our money on. Water. Now, water is great to rehydrate those who've drunk too much, for those people who feel sick, and for those people who just need some water. And although disposable bottles and all of that, actually, we're trying to look after the people. But if we see a bottle, then we will dispose of it. And the last one are space blankets. So for those, again, who are sick in some way, a space blanket is just one way until quite often we've called the parents or somebody to come and pick them up. A space blanket is very good at keeping them warm.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So when you put your money in the bag going round later on, those are the things it's going to buy. And it'll get into the hands of those who need it on a Friday or a Saturday night. Thank you very much. There's a story told in John's Gospel where Jesus is addressing a great big crowd of people. And as he talks to them, they start to get more and more uncomfortable with what he's saying. And a whole load of them just walk away. And then Jesus turns to the ones who are left and says, well, what about you? Are you going too? And Peter says, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so we come to him this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, morning. Our first song is all about Jesus, his role in creation, and then in verse 2, his role in people's lives. So I thought we'd have a bit of fun with this morning. So we've got a different type of drum about to be played, and thank you. And some instruments as well. So if any of you people want to come and grab something. Oh, right, we've got two boxes at the front. Yeah, and this song works really well because it's basically a series of questions, rhetorical questions, with the answer being Jesus. So the real skill for those with instruments is to see whether you can play them when we talk about Jesus. And if not, it doesn't matter. Just play them whenever you like, really. So there's plenty of them. So shall we stand to enjoy this song? Right, good. Plenty spare. Anybody wants one? Shall we stand then and declare our belief in Jesus Christ this morning? Okay. One, two, three, four.
Every nation is marvelous ways.
That was definitely a very loud and joyful noise. Hope you enjoyed that one. So we'll have the instruments back. We are going to do another song, but it's more a song that needs your hands, really, to make actions. So come up the instruments back. Very good. Good. Nice choirs. Good percussion section this morning. So we're going to continue by standing and singing Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. So there are actions to this one, which I think most people know.
Do sit down, we're going to pray together. Father, thank you that you are that strong tower to us. You are our refuge when things are strange or different or scary. You are there for us. Thank you, Father, for every promise of yours that stands like a strong tower into which we can run. Thank you, Father, for your promise that you will be here today because we worship in Jesus' name. Let us know that you're here, we pray. Amen. Now, I had a bit of a worried conversation with one of you earlier on because there was no story box and there was no science box, but there was a new bag. So you can come and have a look and see what's in this bag if you like. You see, I thought we'd do something a bit different today. You know, you're all so good coming up and helping with the stories. I thought, well, we'll have a picnic, we'll have a snack. So that's what I thought. So I bought one of those big bags with lots of little bags of crisps in. Hey, is that okay?
Yeah.
But there's a problem.
Huh?
Well, you see, I got the first one out and it had shrunk.
What? You put it in the microwave.
And then I got another one out and it had gone even smaller. What? And I got another one out.
Oh.
And it had gone even smaller. And then I got another one out. And that bag of crisps was even smaller. And then I got another one out, and it was even smaller. However, would I give all of you something to eat out of a bag that size? It's just not going to work, is it? Now, a long time ago, there was a crowd much, much bigger than this one. Sit down a minute. much, much bigger than this one. And they'd all sat down to listen to Jesus telling stories. And because he was really good at telling them, he'd tell another one and another one and another one. And all the time, the clock would be ticking by. And people were getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And when it got to, well, probably not even lunchtime, I think it was probably a bit past lunchtime, Jesus looked at his friends and said, we ought to give these people something to eat. And they're like, yeah, give them something to eat. And then he looks at them and he says, well, you give them something to eat then. And they're all, don't know what to do. And just at that moment, a little boy pushes his way through the crowd, between the legs of the grown-ups, gets to the front, and he says, well, look, you can have this if you like. You can have what I've got. And anybody remember what he had? That little boy. Yeah, go on.
Three loaves of bread.
Nearly. Any advance on that? The two fish was right. Five little tiny loaves of bread and two fish. No, that wouldn't even be enough for all of us, would it? And there were 5,000 people. But Jesus takes it. He says, thank you to God for it. And then he starts breaking it up. And breaking it up, and breaking it up, and breaking it up. And everybody has a little bit, then they have a little bit more, and then they have plenty. And in the end, there's so much that afterwards, there's not even a bag, there's 12 big baskets left over. You see, God's got enough for all of us, always. But sometimes we just need to ask him for it. And lots of times in my life, I've seen that happen. When it feels like we're going to run out of something, and God provides it at just the right moment. By the way, the crisps that were in my packets will be down at the back afterwards, because I didn't want to cheat on you. So you'll be able to get those afterwards, perhaps when the biscuits are out. Nearly in the oven, actually. But see, God can always provide. Let's sing again together, shall we? Thank you.
So Richard just said that God always provides, and part of this song tells of that. The idea that at that wedding where there was the wine had run out, and Jesus, being the Son of God, creates more. So God's plenty, there is more, and we need to ask. So should we stand and sing, Water You Turned Into Wine?
Power of God, oh God.
sit down. Perhaps they're just going out to their different groups. Would like to make their way there now.
Just thinking back to the verse that Richard read at the start, thinking actually, what would you do? Like, what would I do in that situation? Taking great courage and conviction to remain. And I understand why people walked away. So we've just got these next few songs to make that choice to return to Jesus if we've been away from him, to think about him, declare all that he is, align ourselves with him again. So you might want to stand, you might want to sit at any point, but you know where you are at with Jesus. And so we just ask the Holy Spirit to come and point us to him again this morning. So we're going to start by singing Jesus Be the Center. So stand if you would like.
Jesus.
With some music playing. Just to place ourselves in that crowd that we heard of this morning. Maybe to make that conscious decision to not be the one to walk away, but to remain and to stay. To acknowledge that who but Jesus has the answer, the words for eternal life, who else has the hope for the nations that we need. And we worship you, Jesus, risen and exalted one, the one who can provide hope and salvation to those in need this morning. Just going to finish with one more song, and a song about Jesus still, but recognizing our need of him. We have done this before, but maybe a little bit new to us, but quite easy to pick up, a real easy one to sing. So I think just go with it and join in when you can.
Please sit down. A few weeks ago, Luke Radford and I were having a little chat about how little we know about each other. We all live our Christian lives down different tracks sometimes, have no idea what's going on. And we thought perhaps if we came up with three incredibly simple questions, then every once in a while we could ask someone just those three questions. You'd know what was coming because you'd have heard them asked before. And so the fairest thing seemed to make Luke, the first victim. So come on, out you come, Luke. And I'm going to ask you these three questions. And hopefully in weeks to come, perhaps I can ask some other people as well. So you know what's coming. But here's the first. How long have you been in Newbury Baptist Church?
So I had to check when we actually bought our house. But I think it's about 8 years. So we started to come just before we moved to Newbury, when remarkably Lois, who's now nine, was small enough to sit on the steps and swing her legs. So suddenly feeling a little bit old.
So question two then, where do you spend most of your week, either inside or outside the church?
So it does vary. I think thinking about the question of answers, it's a mixture of kind of I spend it in Newbury and I spend it in London predominantly for work. But I think there's something also there of I spend it with people, people that live messy lives, people that have got things going on. My job is as a civil servant in technology, so that kind of kills most conversations. But very much kind of, yeah, sharing life with others and trying to take what we hear on a Sunday and apply it into those situations where there aren't obvious answers. And just as, you know, some of you are teenagers and you go to the Bible and go, what does it say about having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and struggled with those things in the past, of now I'm faced with the questions of, well, what does the Bible say about artificial intelligence, about the use of technology, how's that going to impact kind of transport? Those are kind of things we grapple with.
So how should we pray for you?
How or why or how or what? Please do pray. Part of the reason we said with Rich about doing this is it's easy to kind of pray for people that we know are going out into a mission field when that's something that kind of feels very Christian. But since I was probably about 14 and read Mark Green's book, Thank God It's Monday, I have always felt convicted by God to go and be a Christian in a secular workplace. And that's tough. It's far harder than I ever anticipated. So you can pray for that very, very generally. But at the end of this month, I'll also finish my current job. And I've got a new job that I'll start at the beginning of March. So please pray for that transition. Pray that I can finish well in my current job, and particularly for the team that I've got, that they won't be left in a difficult position by me going, though they might be thankful to see the back of me. Pray for starting a new job. And pray also for Lois and Chloe as our children, and for Ruth as my wife, because we go into a time now of change, of uncertainty. But in that, it's always been a sense of this is a door that God is opening, and I look to God to provide. As our small group, we've talked in the past of one of the things that success in the world is one thing, but success in God's eyes, and one of the courses we've done recently talked about success being discovering the will of God and doing it. I don't know whether I've discovered God's will, but that's what I try and do, and try and understand where God wants me to be working. So this feels like the right next step, but it's done with a degree of trepidation and stepping out in faith.
Okay, well, I'm going to pray before I forget what you've just said. Father, we thank you for this new opportunity for Luke, and we pray that just as where he is now feels like a place where he's meant to be there for you, so it would feel with the new job too. Go ahead of him, enable him to be your person in that place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. So if I ask one of you if you'd come and do 3Q for me, that's all it means. It's not a big thing, but it's great to hear a little bit about each other's lives. I'm going to ask Theo now to come and read to us. Thank you very much.
This is a reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for what is right. And the next part is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 6. Come all you who are thirsty, come and drink the water I offer to you. You who do not have any money, come, buy and eat the grain I give you. Come and buy the wine and milk. You will not have anything to pay for it. Why spend money on what is not food? Why work for what does not satisfy you? Listen carefully to me. Then you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the riches. Food there is. Listen and come to me. Pay attention to me. Then you will live. I will make a covenant with you that will last forever. I will give you my faithful love. I promised it to David. I will make him a witness of the nations. He will become a ruler and a commander over them. You too will send for nations you do not know. Even though you do not know them, they will come running to you. That is what I will do. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel. I have honored you. Turn to the Lord before it is too late. Call out to him while he is still ready to help you.
Thank you very much. With one last word, as if launching a ship down the slipway to its new home, the Creator spoke. He told them to get on and enjoy it, to be fruitful and hopeful and responsible and well-fed. Then he left them to settle in and hear the sounds of the new earth. Birds twittered, waves lapped, bees buzzed, trees creaked, whales sang, sheep bleated, dogs barked, and the earth found her many voices. Like an accidental orchestra, they played the same melody from every note on the unwritten scales. His voice, though, would come back again and again for those with a heart to hear it. After the days in the garden were done, it would come to Noah, a good man in a shabby world, and tell him to prepare. It would come to Abram, a man blinking outside his tent at the million pinpricks of light in the sky, telling him that his children would be as many as they. It would come to Moses, a failed saviour turned hired hand, cracking at him in the flames of a bush which would not burn. To prophets it would come, men who bore uneasily the burden of their hearing and would pass it on just as uncomfortably in the saying. To a young woman and her puzzled fiancé it would come, telling them that the Messiah was on his way. And in the end it would come to John, a man in prison yet free as a bird, telling him that the story was not over yet, not by a long chalk. And somewhere, in the midst of all of that, Jesus tells his hungry followers that an appetite for him will always be satisfied, in the beatitude that Theo just read to us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What did he mean exactly? Surely not that people should take themselves away and seek God in some kind of splendid holy isolation, since they were there gathering round him in a great carpet of interested spirituality spread across the mountainside. Surely not that all should be priests somehow set apart. Elsewhere, he would say that his very flesh and blood, his brothers and sisters, his family, were those who sought and did his will. The people to hear his voice now would be those who heard it in the noise rather than in the silence. They would be those who spotted him in the crowd rather than seeking him on the mountaintop. And they would do it because they were hungry and thirsty, seeking him out. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen again to those words from Isaiah, spoken in a time of spiritual confusion and amnesia, and then read out just a few moments ago. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk. Or again, listen to me. Again he says it, listen to me. Again he says, give ear to me. Again he says, come to me. Or he says, seek me. He says, turn to me. He says, come looking for me. This is not a state of spiritual awareness into which we tumble accidentally. It is something into which we climb and claw and scrabble to ensure that we are doing everything in our power to seek and embrace the will of God. It doesn't just happen. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Those who go out looking for it, those who go in looking for it, those who will not rest until they find it. Coming to Christ and falling at the foot of the cross, we flung our own righteousness aside, knowing it was not worth the paper it was written on. And from that point on, bereft of our own, we hunger and thirst for his righteousness instead. And like any other kind of hunger, it is gnawing and insistent and seated somewhere visceral deep down on the inside. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, there is a question here about how that personal righteousness translates into social and political righteousness. There is a question here about whether those who are caught up with seeking God's will end up seeing that the world around about them simply has to be changed because it is not acceptable in his sight. That's what happened to the Christians in the very first century who outlawed the practice of infant exposure. Infant exposure was when people who wanted sons found themselves with baby girls instead and left them on hillsides to die because it wasn't what they were looking for. And it was the Christians who said, that cannot be right. That is an offence to God's righteousness. It was the Christians, in the end, who outlawed the gladiatorial combats and said, cannot be right for people to be slaying each other for other people's entertainment. It happened to William Carey and his friends when they got to India and sought to bring about, which they did in the end, an end to the practice of widow burning. It happened to William Wilberforce, to whom the stench of slavery was so obnoxious and was such an offence to the righteousness of God that it simply had to be stopped. It happens to those who are working right now through OASIS and the Baptist Missionary Society and other agencies to see an end to the degrading traffic of women across the world in order to satisfy the lustful appetite of the sex trade. It does happen that when we seek God's righteousness, it gets us all steamed up about a lack of it in the world as well. And those questions about a hunger and thirst for righteousness makes us behave in the political and social sphere is something I'm going to send you back to your small groups to talk about. It's a good place to talk about translating that hunger into action. But I want to ask you something else today. You can go and work on that in your groups, but I want to ask you this question today. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you actually satisfied today, on the 9th of February 2020, that you know all of God that you need to know? Because that hunger is the starting place. And if it's not there, then you need to get on your knees and you need to hammer on the door of heaven until the hunger starts again. You know, we have declared, what a crazy thing for a small group of people. We have declared that it is our stated mission to bring light to South Newbury. But unless the hunger is there, we've got nothing to light the flame with. Unless the hunger is there in us, how do we set a match to the wick and let the light burn? Unless we are actually hungry for him. Now, Jesus says, if the hunger is there, then it will be satisfied. Blessed are those, he says, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Just as all should have been well fed and satisfied in the garden at the start, but they threw it all away. He says, you hunger and thirst for my righteousness, and you will be filled. And when the banquet comes at the end of all things, and the faithful gather around his table from near and far, and every tribe and tongue and nation, nobody will go hungry, and that is a promise. And a gnawing ache, whose name we have never fully known, will at last be satisfied. If we've learnt to be hungry between now and then. If we've learnt to be thirsty between now and then. Blessed are those, he says, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. for they will be filled. You know, I've got all sorts of peculiar things in my office, and I just want to show you one of them before we close. I'll put it on the screen as well so you can see it, bring it down and show you. This all arises from a trip that somebody made in 2011. Krish Kandia, who now is much more known for his association with Home for Good, but at the time was working for the Evangelical Alliance. He made a visit to Burkina Faso, and his host on that occasion was the president of the African Evangelical Alliance. And they were on a little street in Burkina Faso, and they watched these children scampering around with no shoes on. And the guy from the African Evangelical Alliance was talking about the hunger these people had for God. And he pointed out these children running around barefoot on the tree. And he said, you know what? They would rather have Bibles than shoes. That's how hungry they are. And I got really caught up with it. You know, as a man who's probably got 30 Bibles on his shelves, I got really caught up with that. And I took an old Bible and it was one that was too ragged to even, you know, give to a second-hand bookshop. It would have to be thrown away. And I tore it into shreds, which felt like an awfully sacrilegious thing to do. And I'll take it to the back afterwards so you can have a look. And I covered this shoe with it. So you can see these bits you can pick out. Genesis is on the front here. Revelation's on the heel. It's got what was from the spine, looks a bit like a fashion label on it. It says Holy Bible. It felt like an awful thing to do, to tear up a Bible. A lot more awful is having 20 or 30 or 40 of them and not reading them. That's more awful. I felt dirty when I'd done this. I felt like I could still feel the glue on my fingers after doing it, because it felt like such a terrible thing to do, to tear up a Bible. Friends, it's much more terrible that you or I should have one and we're not hungry to know what's in it. That's far more scandalous. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's pray. Father, we're nowhere near hungry enough yet. Change us, we pray, that we might thirst for you like we thirst for water in a dry place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together. please sit down. This stands really at the heart of all that we are. We are an indebted community. We're a community brought together by a love far greater than our own. And so we then relate to each other. And so it's always lovely at the communion table to welcome new people into membership, to say, well, you're part of this family now. Tim and Jennifer, come out and join me. So they did know this was happening. It's not sprung on them. Come on up and join me for a minute. This is Tim, Jennifer, Nash, been worshipping with us for quite a little while. How long have you been worshipping here?
Since January.
Well, it's lovely to make that formal and say that you're truly welcome as part of this fellowship and to welcome you both. Let's pray for them, shall we? Father, we thank you for bringing Tim and Jennifer and the children to us. We thank you that they are a gift to us from you. And we pray, Father, that even as they are a blessing to us, so we might be to them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you both and welcome. I'm going to give you the right one. But bless you. Pat, do you want to come and pray?
Should we pray? Father, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comfort and our care. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and offer our prayers to you as we remember the pastoral needs of this fellowship. We give thanks for the things you've provided for us in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord. We pray now for our church and its very precious people who are all known to you, Lord. We thank you for Tim and Jennifer as they continue to serve you here in this place, and may you richly bless them. We pray for those who are unwell at this time, and we especially remember Frank and Beryl. We remember Minnie and Barbara Watts, as they are too poorly to worship with us, but they are very much with us in spirit. We remember Carl in his sadness, and others who are struggling at this time with family or work issues. Give peace, guidance and comfort. We give thanks for your healing hand on David Appleby, and we pray for others going through hospital treatment. And this morning we think especially of Renata, who has this week undergone a back operation. Lord, we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Hear our prayers, Lord, which we offer to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brought together by him and dependent upon him. Let's just remember for a moment how this all began. We remember how Jesus, during his last night on the earth, sat around a table with his friends. And during the meal, he took some bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this," he said, "in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Before we share the bread and wine, let's give thanks as he did. Father, for a love so costly, for a plan so long in the making, for a death which brings us life, for brokenness which makes us whole, for these things and for this bread and wine, we thank you. Amen. Let's take the bread and eat it as we receive it. When you receive the wine, please hold on to it, and then we'll drink together.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soul I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you until your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring you wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soul I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring you wine out of me. Jesus, bring you wine.
Drink this knowing that the blood of Christ has set you free, and be thankful. I'm going to close the last hymn in a moment. Lord, for the years, think of all the things God has provided for you. And as we do that, we're going to take up an offering for some of these and some of those other practical things that Debbie was talking about earlier on. Let's stand as we sing together and as we take up our communion offering. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.